Hey, it's Nick Jasenducco. Welcome to the podcast. I'm just going to read this headline out. Baby boy becomes first to be born with three penises, guys.
One more time.
Baby boy becomes first to be born with three penises.
All right, stay with me here.
Yeah.
Stay with me. Stay with me.
And I feel like for synchronicity, you should say the headline a third time.
Baby boy becomes first to be born with three penises. Now, Gilman, normally this is me that has to do this, but could you take us to Iraq, please? Put you on the spot there.
Oh, yeah.
God feels good to put someone else on the spot.
Middle East in your pre-programmed
flight? Oh, there's some stuff.
Oh,
this is
that's grim.
Sad times.
That's grim.
This is it's not ideal.
This sounds treacherous. I don't like this either. Try again, Gilly.
Let's just go no
third
music.
Third time's the charm.
All right, let's try. Let's try.
Sounds like a really sad movie, doesn't it, Jess?
It really, truly does, Gilly.
Here we are in Iraq.
Just biding our time.
Just waiting for anything, you know?
We're just in transit.
We never know. That's
waiting for
happen.
Our connecting flight to, you know, Mykonos.
We're having some technical difficulties here in Iraq.
Well, anyway, the baby born was born in Iraq, and he made medical history because he was the first child to be born with, as I said, three penises.
Has he been born with an extra two penises and no testicles? Or
yes, I believe so. So the condition is called the condition is called triphalia. I just call it three penisia. That didn't come out well.
Jeez.
It all fell down. We couldn't get to Iraq, couldn't it?
Don't blame him.
It's not exactly clear why it wasn't picked up straight away, but apparently the doctors let him go.
What?
You know,
what do you mean it wasn't picked up straight away? Don't they do
ultrasound,
that?
I think.
They thought he was a normal dude. No, when he was born, it's all good.
What?
Went home. Yep. The parents discovered the boy actually had two penises, 2 centimeters long, and one was 1 centimeter in length. All right,
one centimeter the original, and the other two are actually longer.
They said the penises didn't perform like functioning organs. They've got no urethra from them, so they can't urinate. They
the
can't
extra
ejaculate.
Two or all three.
I guess the extra two, but God, you'd be unlucky if it was the all three, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If there's been we didn't carry the one properly, you'd think everything was malfunctioning. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, only one of the penises had a head, according to the report. The others were just like little nubs, like nubs of skin popping out. So it's sort of like, you know, if you're ever going to look down there, it's like, which one do I look? I'm seeing three. I'm seeing triple of everything. Just pick the one in the middle.
So no testes.
No testes, only one had a head.
This guy should go to my friend Kyle from school who was born with three.
Three.
He could donate one, testes. Yeah.
Yeah, he could. But I'm not sure he had all the testes to donate, but he's got the two little nubs to donate that aren't useful because apparently...
What was it? You want him to donate the nubs?
Yeah, well, this is science. This is the most incredible thing ever. I would love to see the two little nubs. The first human ever born with three penises. Been apparently 100 reported cases of babies with two penises, but none with three.
So why did the condition have a name if it had never happened before?
I guess they invented it.
Did it used to be the two that is known? Duophalia? Yeah.
Triphalia. At least get it named after him, you know.
In the end, though, his parents made the decision to remove the two extra non-working penises because they thought it wouldn't be good for him as he grows up. I think that's a horrible decision.
I can see where the parents are coming from.
But wouldn't that be the ultimate, like, hey, you know, I've got three penises. You know what I mean? It means I'm three times as good.
Is that what it means?
Baby, want to come home and see my nubs?
Come home and see my one working member and then my two little nubbies.
Yeah. And without the testicles.
Yeah. No, I mean, not a lot's happening
for
them,
are they? Oh, it's, I mean, we all celebrate our differences, but that seems unfortunate.
And the kid's name was the kid's name was Richard as well.
No. The second most common name in Iraq. Richard.
Was it Richard? Am I right?
Hey, Richard, yeah, cubed.
Richard the Third.
Guys, you know I'm in day 12 of isolation.
Yes. Isolation. You do have a bit more of a pep in your step, a twinkle in the eye. Today's a great day. You get to
get
in your car for 15 minutes.
Yep, I get to drive to Warners Bay, get my drive-through COVID test. Come say good day if you want, but don't actually say hi to me. I'll wave to you from throughout my window.
So you're not allowed to get, like, drive-through, say, Macca's or anything?
I've got to get in my car, drive straight to Warners Bay Testing Clinic. I get a VIP test because I'm a close contact. They speed up my test.
Fantastic.
I'm in the COVID VIP list.
And do you have
baby.
A card for that, or do you just have to tell them?
I have an email. I have an email that I show them that proves that I'm a VIP from the New South Wales Health.
Print it out, put on a lanyard.
Absolutely. You know what? Let's smuggle his car out of his home, get it wrapped with those like promotional stickers. You know, you'll see like the Red Bull car.
Yeah.
VIP COVID. Well, just get me wrapped with those
like the logo of COVID on TV, the Red Bull, that like
the angry Red Bull with the spikes. Yeah.
All the cars would steer away from me in traffic. I'd never have to sit in traffic. It's like the COVID bill's coming.
Yeah.
And then they get the hydraulics on the wheel and just they see me rolling. They hate it.
But yeah, I'm excited today because someone's going to shove something up my mouth and nose. But it's my only freedom I get. Yeah, it's my only freedom I get. So that's why I'm looking forward to it. If I get a negative test, I'm good to go on day 14. However, one thing Morgan and I were discussing last night on FaceTime, have realized how we're going to change how we live, is because our wedding is coming up in about a month, right? So we have Jess's wedding and Angus's wedding this weekend. Obviously, go to that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's nothing that important. However, leading into our wedding, for the 2 weeks before it, we've literally said that I don't think we can go anywhere, any pubs, any venues, any shops, because you check in. And, I mean, the chances in this country of being at the same place at the same time as someone who has COVID and being a close contact is so slim, you may as well win the lotto. But it did happen to me. It happened in Byron. I don't even know what the percentage is, but it's not high. And so it can happen.
And it can happen in 2021. That's the thing that's blown all our minds. It's like, this is so 2020. Aren't we over this sort of phase of it? But we're not.
You're not.
And you are a stark reminder that we still need to keep washing our hands and socially distancing and doing the right thing. But you're right. I so get that. I wouldn't even say 2 weeks, Dale. I'd give yourself a month buffer. From now, stop doing this.
After your wedding. Yeah, we're thinking after your wedding, genuinely after your wedding, locking it down again every weekend. Just, you know, maybe go to your local cafe. Get a quick coffee, get in, get out, but don't stick around long anywhere. Don't go to pubs. And that's no way to live your life, and I don't want to live my life that way. But with a wedding coming up so soon that we've already had to cancel and move and had so many issues with, it's like, can we just hold on and do this? Like, is this how we need to be? If you know you've got something important coming up in a month or two, do you literally need to shut down your calendar for weeks leading up to it now?
Have you seen the movie Into the Wild?
I have, yes.
Yeah, so it's this dude who finds like this camper van essentially, just goes and tries to sustain himself
in Alaska,
off things that he's learnt in books in the middle of nowhere, off like berries from the forest and killing boars and stuff like that. You need to do this for the 2 weeks leading up to your wedding.
But not only, I mean, Ducko, I think
so
you've sent out a couple of updated invitations in your time because, as you said, you've cancelled the wedding once before. Mm. I think you need to send out another notification to your 120 guests. Well, no one go anywhere from now.
That's what I was going to say. Do you think it's rude of me to ask my bridal party particularly to go, guys, no one's going anywhere. Lock it up. We've got a wedding to sort out. Like, I know it's my wedding, not yours. But
Your top 20, maybe even your top 30.
Okay.
So bridal party, absolutely included in there. Nick and I will be staying at home. We don't want to miss it.
Oh, man, you guys are good to go whenever you want. Mind to it.
I don't want to miss it.
No, I'm joking. Don't go anywhere. But yeah, this is how we're going to be from now on.
Yeah. It's sad, but it's the new reality. The new normal. We're still saying that.
Did you go anywhere? You had a long weekend in Newcastle where you were free. Did you guys go anywhere on the weekend? You went to the markets.
We went to the market Sunday to stock up on our fruit and veg. But other than that, Ducko, you've got my number. We did not leave the house. I actually had a couple of people text me and say, hey, long weekend. Like, should we go grab a beverage? And I made up excuses. I was I'm busy. I'm writing my vows or stuff like that. No one argues with that sort of excuse.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to leave the house. Exactly.
Well played, though. Like,
I thought so.
You don't want to imagine, Ducko, if your bucks was a week before the wedding, which mine was when I got married. And you're just not getting it. Like, everyone else in your entire world can go, but you, the groom,
can't
your own
wedding.
And you're just on a Zoom call while Morgan says I do to your face on a screen.
I'll be honest with you, Ducko. When this happened to you, I wasn't good at math. I'm not good at math. So when you said 14 days from whenever, I thought you were missing mine and I already started hating you.
And I was like, Jess is going to kill me.
I was going to kill you. Like,
there's nothing I can do.
14 months. You had to be. You know what I mean? If you weren't there, I would have been really angry at you.
Yeah, it's not my fault. I mean, I'm doing it for the government, I'm doing it for the community, and, you know, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but I'd still be the blame. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, you would be.
Like, how are we going to change the seating plan?
So
I
true.
Know. I printed it now. Cannot be changed.
Printed.
I printed it.
Just leave.
You've got a job now at the wedding. Nick can't walk down as a flower man on his own. How ridiculous would that look?
One man doing it is creepy. Two men doing it, fun. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Chick-chat are conversations that I'm having sort of in my own time with my girlfriends that I thought I really want to bring this onto the radio show, get Nick and Ducko's opinion and the Hit families if you do have a take. And I've actually spent a little bit of time talking to some friends and some members of the Hit family to get their opinion this week, boys, on whether we're still taking our partner's names when we get hitched. Women, obviously, tradition is that you do take on your hubby's surname, maybe you hyphenate, but more and more there seems to be this instance of women keeping their own name.
Yeah.
And it just seems to be a really individual conversation and decision. For me personally, a lot of people in the weeks leading up to my wedding this weekend have used the phrase, oh, only a couple more weeks till you become Mrs. Harper. And there's a part of me that's felt the need to clarify, I'm not taking Harper. Mm-hmm. I think Harper is a beautiful name. I think it's a beautiful surname. But I am not giving up Farchione. And so from me articulating that, no, I'm not taking it, there's this conversation that opens up. Yeah. And I found it really fascinating.
Yeah, I've reflected on this quite a bit. One of my best mates, one of my groomsmen, has just recently taken his wife's name. They just got married.
Wow, yeah, cool.
Yeah, which is very cool. And
do you know why they decided to do that?
His theory, which I love, is they're going to make a family, and they just have. They've just had their firstborn child. And he said, if you're going to carry my child for 9 months, go through all the pains of it, and then squeeze it out of you, then you deserve to have the surname of your baby, and I want to have the same surname as my baby.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Which I think is wonderful. Also, from a logistical point of view, I know my wife, Georgette, she did take my name for most purposes, not professionally speaking, but it was a massive scene to be able to change over all of the sort of stuff. And I think she now regrets like the effort to be able to do it. And I always said to her, don't take it. You've already got a wonderful surname.
Yeah, yeah.
But now she does have my surname. She doesn't regret that she's got my surname, but just the effort that it involved to try and do it.
Well, even in just those two examples there, how different people's thinking is. I caught up with some members of the Hit family and asked them this question about whether they're married or they're in a relationship, what their thoughts are on taking your partner's names. This is what they had to say.
I took my husband's surname, I guess a lot like most people. It's all for tradition. I didn't really think too much of it. I still don't think too much of it. No one owns anybody. And hey, why not?
Well, I think that you need to keep your own surname because it's the only part that's left of you. Because everything else then the kids take on, the husband's name. Keep your name.
I didn't take my partner's last name because I didn't want to.
One of the people I used to work with decided with her husband that rather than take one or other name, they would just come up with an entirely new name for themselves and they just picked a new name.
I didn't change my name because I was working under my maiden name and was known by that name at that time. And also I didn't feel like I was a different person on the morning that I got married and wasn't ready to change my name.
So I probably would change my name because my surname is a European background and it's very obscure. But because I come from a line of girls only, then that name would disappear. So be a tough choice, depending on what the person's surname was.
I changed my name because it was a long, long while ago, 61 years, and everybody changed their name when they got married. Then?
It was hard for me to give up my family name because that was my identity and that was who I identified myself as. But I was very happy to take my husband's name, but I have kept my maiden name professionally.
I chose to take my husband's surname for two reasons. The first being that in the almost 7 years we've been together, he has never, ever gotten his way on anything else. So I have given him this one. But secondly, and probably most importantly for me, is that one day when we do have kids, I would like to have the same surname as them, and I'm not a fan of the hyphen surname or a made-up surname, so I've chosen to take his name so that we all have a collective family name.
And just speaking to that, those few women there, I was like, it's such an interesting individual choice, isn't
it?
Almost
it is, common ones there.
Absolutely.
Because my family name, Alan Duckett, is hyphenated because that mum and dad joined them because dad was the only male in his line. Mum had no brothers. So she was the youngest, and her two sisters took their partners' names. And so she asked, could we join this to keep both names
yes,
going?
To keep Duckett alive.
Yeah, so they did it. They joined it to make Alan Duckett. And then now I've got a hyphenated name and I'm getting married to Morgan, obviously.
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
She's taking my name. So she's taking Alan Duckett. And she obviously always had the choice. Like I didn't force it upon her. It was always up to her decision. She wanted to. She wanted to hyphenate our names, but she said, I'm not going to do a double barrel.
Can you triple hyphen?
Alan Duckett Rutley. And I was like, no, that just doesn't work. Yeah. You know how long it would be when you're on those tests when you're in high school, you have to shave your name? It would take so long, you know? So she's taking my name for that reason. But it's funny because we had a big Zoom call with all her family like a couple of months ago now, and her auntie was grilling us, being like, why is she taking your name? Why isn't she keeping our name? And then her uncle, so the auntie's brother, came in and said, well, my wife took our name. And she's like, yeah, but our name's great. And everyone gets defensive about their names.
So
and
the auntie's like, trying to guilt her into keeping her name.
Yes.
Yeah.
When
yes.
people in her own family yeah, isn't
have taken their name. It's like there's no right or wrong way to do it.
And that's the thing. Yeah, I don't like when people put their, as I said, it's so individual. It's so unique. It's what's right for you and your family and your partner. And at the end of the day, it's what you want. It's
exactly.
Your name. Yes. What more ownership do we have over anything in our lives but our name?
Yeah, and what I liked about that was there was no double up of reasons why. And yeah, as I was saying, my wife Georgette took it because she wanted us to be like Team Gill.
Yeah.
You know, we all have the same name, same name as our kids and all that kind of stuff, which I think is a beautiful sentiment.
You do have the same name as your kids. That's important, I think.
I don't know if I care about that. Maybe it'll change when I have a little one. Maybe it'd be weird for me to hear, Fox Harper and I'm Mrs. Farcioni.
Yeah.
But right now I don't have a feeling that I care.
I don't think you care necessarily about whether you do or don't have the same name, but it raises unsaid questions for some reason. Like for some reason, people see, like just on a list, it'll be like Fox Harper, Jess Farcioni, or maybe it's a stepmom.
Or a guardian. Or something
like that. I wonder if that's the mum. They just don't know.
Yeah.
Did you think about hyphenating Jess Harper
Farcioni? To be honest, no.
To be honest,
I don't mind a double barreled if they roll off the tongue. Farper. Alan Duckett, roll off the tongue. Farcioni Harper Farcioni, it doesn't roll.
You could join them. Yeah, Farper.
We could do the thing where you make up a new one. Yeah. Farcioni.
Yeah.
Farper's not great. I don't like Farper Smith. I love that it's such an individual conversation, but I think the takeout is not to put your views on someone else because everyone's opinion is so unique and you've got to do what's right for you.
Yeah, except for mine, which is right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And mine.
And yours.
Yeah, and yours is right.
And your Morgan's auntie is right
and,
also.
Yeah. And you know my initials, like Nick Allen Duffy, it's like NAD.
NAD.
and Morgan's going to be mad.
This is the time of the week that one of us shares something we are doing, thinking, or saying, and the others get to judge wholeheartedly. And you can judge too, Hit Family, 131060. Please always get involved. Don't forget, Call of Fame this week is a fantastic prize, and all you need to do to win is get on the air. Gilly.
All right, guys.
Weirdo.
I want to talk about... avocado and peeling the avocado because...
Yes. Oh, we're in shepherd season.
The avocados are horrible right now.
Aren't they?
They're
just
so bad. They're so hard.
They're so rubbery.
Yeah.
Shepherds, guys. It's because it's not Hass season.
That's right. Yeah,
Nine months of the year, we're in the golden period of Hass.
And we don't appreciate it.
No.
This is a good lesson.
This is the worst 3 months of the year every year.
Like, truly.
Horrible.
Truly.
Absolutely. But when I'm cutting an avocado, guys, I have this really strange fear, which I think is quite unlike me, that you know how you do two strokes with the knife. So the first one is you slice it down the middle while rubbing against the pip, and then you twist and you take it in half.
Yes, yes.
You know that move?
Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the next one is you stab it with the knife, twist, and then take the pip out.
See, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I do that.
Oh, I did that too many times and chopped my own thumb off, so I don't do that anymore. I squeeze the avocado and it pops the pip out, creating basically guac mush in my hand, which is not ideal for like a salad or something, but better than cutting my tip of my thumb off.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, at both of these stages, I fear that the avocado pip will cease to exist and I'll slice my hand off. So I fear that when I dive into the avocado, that it's going to be a nice ripe one and it'll be soft and I'll go straight through and then slice the palm of my hand, which is not unreasonable. Maybe there's an avocado out there without a pip. But then the dumber one is that when I can see the pip when it's already in half and I do the big chop, I'm scared that the pip will either be super soft or just cease to exist for that second, and then I'll hoo-cha into my own palm and cut it.
Has this happened once before?
Never happened never in my life. Never has seen it ceased to exist. I've never seen it happen, but I hear
you've never had a, you know, collapsible pip?
No.
That just crumbled like a beach volleyball?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But I have
pips
heard.
Pips are very hard. They're very hard. Never soft.
Yeah. They're not hollow.
No. Yeah. And they're always sizable enough that you can latch onto them. But I've heard that there are a lot of injuries from avocados from people, like normally inaccuracy, like yours.
Yeah, right? Like Jess said, yeah, I've definitely done that before. I slipped off and cut myself.
The slip off.
It hasn't stopped me from still just going for it.
Yeah, you've really got to as well.
You've really got to go for it, because if you hesitate, the avocado knows and like deflects the knife.
Well, well, it's a double because, you know, you have a go, right, and it's not enough. You've got to take the knife out. Next time you go in, there are two cuts in it and then a bit will chip off and then you won't be able to twist it. And then you do that thing where you twist and the pip's kind of all broken and then you've got to go even harder again. It's just
the
whole
avocado the most deadly of the fruit and veg family?
Ooh, it is the weirdest fruit and veg, I think.
It absolutely is. But is Gilly weird for thinking his pips are going to disappear mid-cut?
3, 2, 1
Yes, weird.
Yeah, you're definitely weird.
If you're looking at it and it's never happened before, I don't understand. And you're absolutely right. It's unlike you.
Yeah.
Like, you learn from your mistakes. So if it happened before and one collapsed or disintegrated or genuinely disappeared.
Well,
I would go, nah, it's fine. You're learning from your mistakes. You should be cautious, but it's strange.
Well, in my defense, the main one is the first one. I really like going with some gusto around the pip, and I'm scared that it'll just be a pipless avocado.
It's one of those things
I haven't witnessed yet.
It's quite exciting to do, but it's also the most nerve-wracking part of cutting open the avo. Like,
yes.
I always think about it's coming up. Like, that step is coming up, and I'm going to have to face those fears soon. But I never
a salad shouldn't be this nerve-wracking. Like,
well, you know, this is life, isn't it? You know? We want to know, mums and dads, or anyone really, but how'd you mess up the punishment? Okay. Mm. I'll explain what I mean. So there's a dad overseas in the UK, and he was trying to punish his son, who was 10 years old at the time. This is some years ago. So he confiscated his Game Boy, back when Game Boy Colors were all the rage.
Oh, I had one of those. Yes, yes.
Yep. So this is 18 years ago. He's confiscated his son's Game Boy Color because his son was being naughty, and he's like, right, no screen time. But his son was into all the hiding spots that dad put in, you know, the shoe cupboard, the clothes cupboard, rah, rah, rah. So he thought, I'm going to hide it in an old jacket that I never use. I'm going to whack it in the pocket, and he'll never find it.
Oh, good one.
The dad being the dad, though, hid it so well that he actually forgot a few hours later where he hid it.
The
son, when the son was asking for it back, the dad had to keep making up excuses, but he couldn't actually give it back to him because he himself didn't know where it was.
Does it say how long the initial punishment was meant to be? Like, was it meant to be for the afternoon?
Oh, it doesn't say how long, but I presume so. It was for something quite minor, so no more screen time for that afternoon. Maybe he'll get it the next day.
Yes.
And when it rolled around to the next day, it was like, no, this punishment's still going, and it's still going.
You looked at me the wrong way,
Eventually, the kid always brought it up with him, and the dad, only this year, 18 years later, when his son is now 28 years old, his dad was throwing clothes away and he found the Game Boy Color in his jacket pocket.
Oh, so he has not worn that jacket for 10 years. It was already an old jacket he said he never wore.
Yeah.
Oh, that is brilliant.
There's so much to dig down on here. Like, guys, throw out stuff more often.
Yes, go through your wardrobes every now and then.
But also, I every time that there's a birthday or anniversary or something, I get a reminder in my phone that pops up and it'll tell me the location of the gift that I've hidden. Because I know that old me has been too crafty.
Too
and
creative.
New me or current me will have no idea where the gift is.
I love that. Speaking of how did you mess up the punishment, a friend of mine, she always tells this story. She had a couple of years when she was a kid where she had a taste for soap. She would eat soap because
like the ones that look like strawberries and she thinks it'd taste like strawberry?
Maybe those. Well, her parents, they're old school wogs like mine, they would do the wash out your mouth with soap if you said naughty words. Yeah. Okay,
Mum did that to me once. It was horrific.
Once, well, this little girl, that was the punishment. She would always, you know, slip up and say naughty words. So her mum got into the habit of doing the soap, so much so that my friend got a taste for soap. So she started like, she would go into the bathroom and sneak soap, and her mum would keep catching her eating soap. She got her daughter hooked on soap. It was very weird.
Starts putting it into cooking and stuff. Yes. Has friends over. Oh, Cassandra, this is really soapy. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a new flavour soap. Yes. It's a strawberry.
So weird.
All right. Angela in Rutherford's called in. How did you mess up the punishment on 13 10 60?
So my kids broke their iPads. They're 4 and 6 years old, and it was a rainy day, and I decided, right, we'll ban the TV. And then I'm like, oh, crap, that meant I couldn't watch the TV. There was no movies going on, and my other child got punished as well for the one act that my eldest did.
Oh, this is always the case. I do this threat as well. If you guys cry about this particular thing, then you don't get any TV tomorrow. And tomorrow rolls around and you know you've got to follow through.
Yeah.
But it really punishes you while you're trying to prepare dinner or something like that.
You have to entertain the children now.
Oh, well, have to
and
parent.
It was a rainy day, so I couldn't exactly send them outside.
Now, Ange.
Oh, no.
Michelle is in Newcastle. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. How have you messed up the punishment?
Well, I'm going back to the Wii before PlayStation around the same time. So my two boys were playing, had a fight. Smashed our big TV screen. So, we thought we'd punish them and not get a new TV for a while. After a couple of weeks, we got a bit sick of not having a TV because we're punishing ourselves. So we got a small one. And then my husband and I had to end up going to the optometrist because the TV was so small.
You stuck with the punishment so much that you got yourselves a tiny TV and needed glasses. Oh, that is the best thing I've ever heard.
Wow. Exactly what we're after.
Exactly what we're after. Oh, Emma in Cameron Park, how did you stuff up the punishment?
Well, a few weeks ago, like everyone else, I got sick of the iPads and the phones of the kids, so I got the internet cut off. Had to put it back on, obviously, because it was a punishment for myself as well. Mm-hmm. So last week, I thought, this is it. I've, excuse my French, got the shits again. So I decided to cut off the electricity, and it wasn't until the very morning that I was sitting there and the guy knocked on the door that I realised that it wasn't just their phones and everything else. It was going to be the fridges. And so having two fridges full in the house, I decided I had to quickly pick up the phone and pay the electricity bill.
Oh, my God.
You got to stick with it. I love it.
I love it. Is that what happens when you're a parent? You just lose all sense. Just you go so far into the, I've got to punish these kids.
I've got to follow through on this so that they can learn a lesson and grow up to understand boundaries.
So you cut off your own electricity.
And Gilly, I don't know if you know this, but Jess is getting married. Have you heard about that?
What? When?
Yeah, apparently it's sometime this weekend. I don't know, man. The Knights are playing. There's so much on this weekend.
It says Knights do not matter. Just for this
there's a seafood festival as well this weekend. But yes, it's your wedding.
But it's the last few days before you can either back out or Angus can back out.
Yeah.
Because you do get married this Saturday. Well, we just want to test that you guys are on a solid enough foundation.
And people do get cold feet leading up to the wedding. It's a big milestone in their lives. Not that you are or that Angus is, but we just want to make sure live on the radio that neither of you are getting cold feet and you know each other and love each other.
I'll be honest with you. When Angus walked into the studio, I hate surprises. You guys know this. Hmm. I've never been less happy to see him because I thought, something's going on.
That's great.
Nah. 4 days out.
Your beautiful fiancé, Angus, does join us in studio.
Yes.
Hello, everyone.
Are you ready, girls, for the wedding that's going to rival the royal wedding?
I know, right? Bit of pressure.
So what we're going to do, Jess, is we used to play a game called Perfect Partners, where you ask a question of the partner and then see if the answer is aligned with the other to see if you know each other well enough to get married, because some people jump in too early.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask you questions, Jess, and Angus has already recorded his answers today, so he does know what's going on a little bit. Cheeky boy.
All right, so question number one.
Who would you say wears the pants in the relationship?
I need some dot points under who wears the pants, because I am much more demanding, but Angus gets the job done. So what does that mean? Me.
All right, let's find out.
What do you think? Definitely Jess. I'm a little bitch.
A little bitch.
So true.
Oh, okay. All right, Jessica. What nickname does Angus hate that you call him?
Oh, I call him a lot.
Yeah, you do.
You do.
Sweet angel man.
She calls me little dumpling man or like little chocolate man, or when I'm having, when I'm enjoying something, she'll call me little whatever that thing is, man. Either that or sweet angel.
I mean, there's so much to unpack. There's so much to unpack there. Like little dumpling man.
I didn't know you didn't like little chocolate man.
What do you mean? You think I like little dumpling man?
The fact that Angus said he's your little bitch before that, I really see it now.
Little dumpling man is so fun. I thought as soon as I said sweet angel man, I thought, no, he doesn't like Mr. Puppy Pants either.
Oh, Mr. Puppy Pants. I forgot about that one.
Ooh. All right. What's the weirdest thing Jess has ever done?
I've ever done in my life.
Yep.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. Okay. You know Fred Flintstone when he goes to...
Never, never do.
You know,
exactly.
You know when he goes to bowl and he does the tippy-toe run?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I often do a tippy-toe run, like very little stamps. Yeah. And I approach him that way. Just if he's sitting down, he's just arrived home. Why am I telling you this? Is that it? Please don't.
I'm learning so much about you two today.
I know, this is great. All right, this is what Angus thought the weirdest thing you've done is.
Making up songs to like popular tunes but changing the lyrics to involve our names.
Well, now I'm going to have to give him an example. You understand that? It'd just be like, Angus, yay, he's having a shower. He looks great in the nude. Angus, woo, yeah, make sure you wash between your toes.
Oh, these are all great
songs.
So
much. All right, next question. If it's Gus's last meal on Earth, Jess, what do you think he's eating?
Roast potatoes. Is it not potatoes?
Find out what he said.
Hands down, satay chicken from Emerald Garden at West New Lantern. Side of vegetarian rice.
Oh boy, that's a food one as well. I thought you'd nail that.
Mate, I was so confident. I've never been more confident about an answer in my life.
Yeah, I forgot about the roast potatoes.
God damn, well, obviously they're not your favourite.
All right, strangest place you've done the deed.
Oh yes. Gosh.
Angus has answered it, so this is
going
to be
good.
We could get two weird.
And just so you know, his answer is 26 seconds long.
He's explaining it. Well, the reason we were...
You explain it. Yeah. I'm going to go. Angus organised when we were in New Zealand, this beautiful eco cabin thing in the wilderness, no one around except some sheep, and like we did it on the,
don't
in
need
the
it.
Field. Like out to, in, amongst the sheep.
I'm going to need the details. Amongst the sheep. Okay.
Tell your
family. I actually, on my timeline of Angus, you know, I've kept a record of any important date.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have first time bang outside in my timeline.
All right. Let's find out if that is the strangest in Angus's mind.
Really? All right. It was in the middle of a paddock in New Zealand.
Boom. Oh.
Need we have more? And times like these, Angus, how do you feel about marrying a radio host?
Depends what the result of this quiz is. It could be off here.
This next one's going to be kind of juicy, guys. If you could change one thing about your relationship, what would it be?
Oh, I would say, this is very selfish, I wish Angus also did a job that had the same hours as me, so then we could come home at the same time and just have the same sort of day.
Okay.
Does that sound real needy?
Yeah, a little bit clingy.
No, not too much to ask.
This is what Angus said.
Is that what he wants too?
Honestly, I don't know what that one thing would be. Hey, look, it'd be nice to share the cooking a little bit. That's all I'm saying. Pasta, risotto, baked dinners, chicken and veg. Help a brother out.
Did he just say chicken and veg? You want to go to day ducko? Because you ain't getting chicken and veg in my house.
I was just listing anything.
Come on over, baby.
Open a bag of corn chips for the man.
I make soup.
Assemble a cheese board.
I do a nice soup. You like my soup.
Yeah, chicken soup.
All right. I just need to tell you that we've tallied the numbers here, Jess.
Yeah.
What is a pass?
50.
How much grace are we giving? What if it's exactly 50?
Well, if I was the teacher marking the homework and they got 50, they know half the material, which is good enough for me. You're a numbers guy, Gilly.
You got exactly 50%.
Oh, I don't know if you should be happy about that, guys. I would have thought you'd be a strong 80.
As would I, Ducko. I'm really kicking myself over the roast potatoes. He's really stitched me up with that satay chicken BS. So what does this mean?
I think the wedding's on.
Yeah, wedding's on.
I think maybe incorporate this into your vows.
Tell you what, in your vows, put the story about New Zealand and where you slept together intimately.
And the fancy party pies.
Detail. My grandma will love it.